going to be reading today out of Luke 1:39-45. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This morning we're going to be lighting the joy candle.
Amen, church. We have reason for joy this morning, and his name is Jesus Christ. So I'm excited to be here with you this morning as we continue in our series, O Come, All Ye Faithful. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and meet me in the Gospel of Luke. That's where we're going to be at this morning, so go ahead and turn in your Bibles there. I hope that your days are going well. We have officially entered into Christmas crunch time. Everybody got their Christmas shopping done? Right, a few hands, a few yeses. It's a whole lot of no's in here. I'm going to go ahead and warn you. My wife and I and my mother-in-law went to the Avenue yesterday, or last night. I'm going to say that's a terrible decision. So if you're going to do your Christmas shopping, take a lunch break or something, because it's wild out there. And my hope is that you, one, would be careful, but two, that you would just take hold of what this season is all about. Because here in a few short days, the halls will be undecked. Your Christmas trees will be broken down and put back up in the attic where they came from. And the songs that have riddled our airwaves and our playlists will be gone. I heard some giggles. Some of you are like, praise the Lord. And others, on the other hand, you're saying you hate to see them go. I've never been praise the Lord that they're gonna go away. I've been kind of neutral either way, but I feel like this year it's been kind of special, and I'm gonna hate to see them go. And that has everything to do with my daughter Florence, because she has been overly obsessed with everything Christmas. She's been watching all the movies, she's gotten all the like books and all those different things. And this past week, my daughter goes to what's called CLC. If you guys don't know what that is, it happens at our Smyrna campus. It's like a Mother's Day Out program. But she slept in these reindeer Christmas pajamas, okay? And my wife, Alexis, is getting her up, telling her, hey, we got to change to get ready to go to school. And she comes unglued. My reindeer. She's upset that she has to take off her Christmas pajamas to go to school. So it's been kind of special, and I'm going to hate to see that go. And even so, think about this. When you're out Christmas shopping and you're hitting all of that traffic, just turn on that Mariah Carey. Let her sing some Christmas songs to you. Everything will be all the better. And if that doesn't work, contact Michael Bublé. He'll get you right. He'll get you taken care of, okay? He'll settle your tension, your stress. He'll change your mood, all of those different things. The songs of this season, they're beautiful. But they not only cool a temper or change a mood, most importantly, they change our focus. And I'm not talking about Granny got ran over by a reindeer. What I am talking about is, O come all ye faithful. Silent night, come thou long expected Jesus. These beautiful hymns that remind us that the Christmas season is not about what's under the tree or in your stocking, but it's all about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we have plenty of things that will stress us out in our days. You've got social media platforms. You've got entertainment platforms. All of these things that are causing mass hysteria and worry. And my hope is that you wouldn't be caught up in the festivities and traditions of the day and lose sight of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear me. Going to see the lights and having your own traditions, they're beautiful things. Please do those. Spend that time with your family. But make the most important thing that you talk about, the most important thing you fix your eyes upon, may that be the Lord. So this morning, we're going to continue in that vein as we look at another song together. The song is not going to be found on a Spotify playlist or iTunes or at your staff Christmas ugly sweater contest party or whatever you want to call it going on. It's not going to be at any of those things. But it is one of the greatest songs ever written. So I'm sure by now you've turned to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be continuing on from where Ben just read from, Luke chapter 1. We're going to read verses 46 through 55. And I hope this scripture moves your focus off of your calendars or your kids or anything else and places them on the Lord. Because when we focus our eyes on Jesus, we lock eyes with joy. So let's read the word of God together. Luke chapter 1, 46 through 55 says this. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength from his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." This Christmas carol was first sung after Mary received word from Gabriel that she, although a virgin, would conceive and bear a son of the Most High God. So she hears this news. She takes off to the hill country of Judah to tell Elizabeth and about this bombshell that's just been laid upon her. When we all do this, when we have bombshells dropped on us, we got to tell somebody. Even if that person, this didn't take place here, but even if that person's like, "Hey, don't tell anybody. You got to, hey, don't tell nobody, but I heard this." You got to go tell somebody to kind of talk this thing out, have a bombshell dropped on you. So this is what she did. And if you think about the travel that would have took place, she had time to kind of contemplate the weight of this matter. And I want you to think about the scenario and how everything has changed when she heard she would bear a son, the Son of God. A young peasant girl living in obscurity now carries the King of Kings, now carries the Lord of Lords, the God who created everything, has wrapped himself in the form of a baby brought coming through Mary. She not only had to bear the weight of this internally, but there was external matters that she had to bear the weight of. Because in this season, she's betrothed. And if you didn't know, in that time, they don't consummate their marriage, i.e. they have not had sex yet to consummate that marriage. So she's still a virgin, but yet she's pregnant. So to the society, it looks like she's committed adultery. And the offense in that time for adultery is you're going to be taken outside of the city and stoned. Not only that, but this is the first trimester, so you know she's throwing up everywhere. Everything, all the, imagine all the smells she's having to deal with. Lord have mercy. Her life is unraveling. And you might be sitting here thinking, why are we even looking at Mary and talking about joy when all of this is taking place? Well, church, my hope is it's that you would note her response, because she's bearing the weight of carrying the Son of God, and she's bearing the weight of the social stigma, if you will, that would be brought to her. And yet her response is that she sings. Mary sings. In an avalanche of emotion, she bursts forth in praise to God. This isn't a careful and like calculated lyric where she wrote something down, erased it, and rewrote it again to make sure it sounded good. This is an overflow from her heart. And this isn't based on some temporal happiness due to favorable circumstance, because we just talked about her circumstance isn't favorable. Her whole young life has been turned upside down, and yet she burst out in song. And I believe we can learn from Mary's joy this morning. And my hope is that you would take note of her song and what we find in there, that Mary had joy looking back, Mary has joy looking up, and Mary has joy looking forward. Those will be our 3 points this morning. So the first one, joy looking back. Because when you know what God has done for you, you rejoice. Look again at verse 46. She said, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Throughout history, Mary's song has been known as the Magnificat, which is a Latin word that means to magnify. She's magnifying the Lord with her song. You can think about it this way. Have you ever, who's had a telescope in here before or even looked through one? A few of you. Some of you need to go buy one for Christmas. Because it's a beautiful thing that allows you to bring into focus things that seem small. Allows you to bring into focus that things are far off. There was this comet that came through that was really, really close to the earth. And from the naked eye, it just looked like this white light with a little tail behind it. But if you were bringing into the telescope to zoom in on the image, to magnify the image, you were able to see this beautiful comet that has this all a display of color and ice and dust hurling behind it at an unbelievable speed. But if you don't have the right equipment to magnify the object, you're not going to be able to see the mass of it nor the beauty of it. This is, in essence, what Mary is doing here. In her song, Mary knows that our default is not to magnify the Lord. Our default is to magnify ourselves and make small the Lord. We want to make him manageable and keep him at a distance. And this is why we see more often than not in this season, it's completely commercialized. You, the consumer, this is about you. Buy, 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 spend, 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 spend. Because this is what we believe the path to joy is. Magnify ourselves. But Mary shows us when we magnify the Lord, when we treasure him, when we exalt him in our lives, this is where joy begins. You magnify the Lord, not yourself, and this is where joy begins. So Mary looks back and remembers what God has done. She recounts how he has brought the mighty low and exalted the humble. He's filled the hungry, sent the rich away empty. And now he's been merciful and faithful in keeping his promises to the Old Testament fathers. And I think it's important for us to note here that Mary responds this way because she was a Jewish girl. And the importance of this is that within their household, they took discipleship very seriously. This was not a joke nor an option. She was to be discipled, and they didn't have the Bible like we have the Bible today in our hands. Her parents would have had this word of the Lord memorized and deeply entrenched into their hearts. So what they did is they poured it into their daughter's heart. And I truly believe if her heart had been captured and poured into by TikTok or Instagram, she would have went to Planned Parenthood instead of Bethlehem. Her parents told her stories of God's might, of God's faithfulness, of God's strength and sovereignty. And because of this, parents in here, I think this is a word for us. Because of this, when Mary is blindsided, she responds with joy. She sings a praise to God, not of worry and not of fret, but of praise of who God is and the faithfulness that has been made evident in her life. When Mary looked back, she knew God had promised a Savior. And she knew that he would come. And she knew the son that she was carrying would not only be the Savior of the world, but her Savior as well. Now, for the Roman Catholic Church, these are fighting words. They teach that Mary was immaculately conceived. She herself is sinless, and they assume she too ascended to heaven, where she is our advocate before God as well. However, church, this is not what we see in the Bible. This is not what we read from the scriptures or Mary's own song in and of herself. Mary is aware of her brokenness and her need for a Savior. And I believe, like Mary, if we would look back on our brokenness and our need for a Savior, our joy would grow because of the coming of Jesus and how God provided that Savior, knowing that we could do nothing to save ourselves. Mary shows us that we can find joy looking back. For Mary, in all actuality, was looking forward and realizing her need for a Savior and knowing that her baby would be that Savior. However, for us on this side of the cross, we can look back. We do look back and we linger in adoration, magnifying God for who he is and worship him for what he's done. Church, I plead with you, do not overlook the cross in this season. Look at the cross on your way to Christmas and rejoice in what God has done. Mary shows us that joy is found as we remember what God has done, as we look back, but she also shows us, our second point this morning, that our joy is sustained by looking up. Because when you know who God is, you rejoice. Look back at verse 48 with me. It says, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." I want you to notice how Mary starts verse 48 off. She says, "For," as to set up the why behind this song. And then Mary goes on to sing about and list all of the ways that God has shown himself to be faithful in her life and what she sees from the discipleship that takes place in her home. She sings about his favor to look on her humble estate. She sings about his might made manifest and all of the great things that he's done. She sings about his absolute holiness and his absolute righteousness, his mercy for those who fear him. She sings about his power, his provision, his strength, and sovereignty. Church, all things we need to gaze upon. Mary is not looking out at the trouble or trial that is around her because there's plenty of it to look at. She is solely fixed on the Father. And this is why she can rejoice, because she is looking up. So many people chase happiness and miss it because they're looking in the wrong direction. They're looking under the tree. They're looking at their bank accounts or Roth IRAs or 401ks. They're looking at the stock market. And every single time we look in any other direction but up, we miss it. Doesn't matter how many times you check it. If it is not the Lord, we miss it. There's a quote from John Piper that says, "The single biggest threat to our joy is not disappointment and despair, but listen to this, but a forgetfulness and distraction. The single biggest threat to our joy is not disappointment and despair, but a forgetfulness and distraction. Instead of looking up, we look under trees. We look at all of these different things, but the message of Advent and the Song of Mary is that we must look up, fix our eyes on the Lord. And this is where we find joy. Joy does not come in a box. It does not come in a car with a big red bow on it outside in a snowstorm. It came to us in a baby, wrapped up in his mother's arms. Church, we must look at Jesus. We have to start looking up. This is where we find reason to sing. This is the reason for rejoicing and receive the joy that is bottled up in this song if we look up. Finally, I want you to see this song not only calls for us to rejoice as we look back, for us to rejoice as we look up, but also as we look forward to the promises of God. Because when you know what he has done and who he is, it gives you confidence and joy in what he will do. Look at the last two verses in this song, verse 54 and 55. It says, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Mary wraps up by singing about the covenant promise of God made in Genesis chapter 12. But notice the tense here. She says, "He has helped." Mary was so confident in who God was and what God has done that she went ahead and just said that she has no doubt in what he'll do. He's been faithful here. Why would he not be faithful here? Our God doesn't break his promises. He is a promise keeper. What he says, he will do. See, Mary knew his word. She knew his character. She knew his heart. And therefore, she knew he would be faithful to keep his promises. And it welled up in her in a song. This is why studying the word of God is so important. This is why our corporate worship, our coming together as the body, is so important. I need you to hear me. We have to wield these two things together. We have to study the word of God, and we have to come together and worship as the body of Christ. It's critically connected to joy. When you know who God is and what God says, our circumstances and emotions no longer lead us. They no longer lead us. God's word will well up in us and cause us to move in the right direction after him. And this is what Mary does in her song. She reminds herself of what is true. And if I can encourage you here for a moment. Music, worship, songs, rhythm, these are beautiful things given to us from God. And they are a beautiful tool, parents in the room, these are a beautiful tool to disciple your children. I mean, my daughter Florence is 2 years old and she can rattle off head, shoulders, knees and toes, Ba Ba Black Sheep, all these different things. They catch on to rhythm quickly. I mean, remember the craze a few years ago when Frozen came out and literally every kid you've ever met was singing Let It Go? But I want to read you a quick excerpt from that song, from the Let It Go song. I want you to listen to this. It says, "Funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. Let it go. Let it go." Many of our children were singing some of the most terrifying lyrics that they could. That there is no right or wrong. Do whatever you want to. Find yourself. Live out whatever you want to live out. You are the source of your happiness. This is false. We have to be careful about what comes into our hearts, more so our children, because your heart is the wellspring of life. What goes in will come out. I would encourage you, teach your children the songs that we sing in this room. Teach your children the beautiful hymns that we sing in this season, because it teaches them to take their eyes off of themselves. There is right and there is wrong, and there is a design to way that we should live. And honoring the Lord, it will exalt the Savior before your children's eyes. And before you know it, they'll be walking around your home singing these beautiful songs, magnifying the Lord just as Mary did. Not herself, not ourselves, but magnifying Christ. It's the only way that we will find joy. And this morning, maybe Christmas hasn't been delivered for you. Maybe the loss of a loved one or the loss of a job. Maybe your home is empty. Normally it's full, and this season reminds you why. I would encourage you and implore you to look back, to look up, and to look forward. Because our joy is rooted in Jesus Christ. There is no other place. No other place that we will find joy. Don't believe the schemes of the world. Fix your eyes upon the Savior, Jesus Christ, and you will find joy. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, all I know to say here is thank you. I'm at a loss for words in your mercy. I'm at a loss for words in your kindness. God, I pray that in this season you would so fix our eyes upon you. Because left to ourselves, we won't do that. We want to look in the mirror and look at ourselves. But God, I plead with you. Move in this body. Move in these families. That regardless of the circumstance they're walking through, regardless of whatever situation they might be facing, however terrifying, however big or small that they might walk through, God, if they would just fix their eyes on you, they can have joy, they can have hope, they can have life everlasting. Father, come what may. We cling to the truth that you will hold us fast in our failures, when we don't look at you, when we triumph over sin. God, you will hold us fast. Beautiful picture of us, your children, being held in your arms. You came to us. And Father, we praise you for it. And we want to do nothing more than to turn around and give the breath in our lungs, the life you have so given us, and give them back to you. So, Father, go before us and give us the strength and boldness to do that. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Church, this season is full of many things. But I pray for you, it's full of joy. It's full of worship. It's full of our Savior. It's full of the Word of God. If you're in this room and you do not know the Savior, you do not know the Word of God, come talk to me. Because the only way you'll have true joy is if you have been saved, if you have repented of your sin, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Every other thing dies out. We only have true, genuine, everlasting joy in the Son of God. So come to Him, all who are weary and laden, for He will give you rest. His yoke is easy and His burden is light, church. So come to Him. I love you. Merry Christmas. And thank you for being here this morning.
Let's stand and sing.